We are back doing another episode of Trail Talk. Today we are with Jordan Jones. We are in his, I don't know what year it is, but we're in a JK on awesome 40-inch Nittos. As always, communication is provided by Cardo, and you can follow along on this podcast with Onyx. You'll see exactly where we went and what happened. But Jordan and I have actually known each other for quite a while, and then we didn't know that we were going to end up wheeling together. Jordan used to be the oil rep at the shop I used to work at. So he would come by and try and sling us oil, and yeah, then we ended up coming out on a couple runs together and put two and two together, and it was like, hey, man, we're here. Anyways, Jordan, thanks for having me out here.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So we're on Milt's Mile. We're going to go, you know, crawl and talk at the same time, I hope. You can follow along, but... I wanted to have you on specifically, Jordan, just to talk about kind of your transition in the off-road community, because you, from what I know of you, you started in side-by-sides, and now we're obviously in a Jeep. So do you want to tell me a little bit about your journey, how you got to where you're at here?
Yeah, so I started off with a 2001 Toyota Tacoma quite a while ago. Did that for a long time, you know, in my early 20s, and then transitioned into dirt bikes, actually. A few years after riding quite a bit, I got hurt. It shattered my hands, and I was told I wouldn't ride a dirt bike again for who knows how long. So I started looking at side-by-sides. It was right when the XP1000s came out, 2014, and I was like, hey, this is pretty fun. I get out with my buddies and go explore, use it for hunting, whatever. So that's kind of was the spiral for me for a while. Then ended up owning a couple different machines, started doing more and more. First one I started off 2014 XPT1000, then ended up doing a Packer turbo kit. Rallied that for a long time with like no issues and wrecked it pretty bad. Ended up painting it, and the XPTs came out, and I went, man, I've seen a few of those after the first year. They got them pretty dialed, some of the big turbo kits, and I was I think I might make the transition.
And I had like a force induction machine.
Yeah, I had like 5,000 miles on that with a bolt-on turbo kit. Never had any issues, but I was like, man, that's like another 70 horse, you know?
Yeah.
So kind of got rid of that 1,000, found an XPT, and just went all out. Like, I think I put 7 miles on it and then had a big turbo kit. Had long travel on it, had lower.
Yeah, that was back when 64 was like the wider one.
Yeah, so did an NSX long travel kit on it, set of DW wheels, and I had a set of 33 stickies, but I used them a bit. I didn't get on the rocks a ton, honestly, but I had a blast doing it, and it's kind of when the racing kind of started, and I had done a little bit of desert racing, but like nothing real, real serious. And I was like, man, I was pretty quick, but, right. You know, in the scope of things, everything was, progressing really fast. So kind of started, doing a little bit of drag racing, nothing serious, be at events or whatever.
Sand drags.
Yeah, I'd be at events, and they'd always, like Matt Ling at the time, he was doing most of those, and, that didn't feel real good.
A little fun. For those just listening, yeah. We are on Milt's Mile on an obstacle, so I can see this tire here. Oh, never mind, I was going to say, I don't know if you need to adjust or not, but I guess not, we just bumped it.
I just hammer down. So... started kind of hitting some of those events, and I was having fun. Started building a few parts as well. And And yeah, I did that for a while. The Yamahas came out, and then it was, as far as racing went, they kind of dominated that for a while.
I remember talking to you because I was just getting started in the side-by-side stuff, and I remember having these conversations with you as you'd come in and, you know, make sure we were good and set on our 15W40 and stuff like that. I remember being like, so what's the deal? Like, what would you do if you had to build the highest horsepower? And you were always like, it's got to be the Yamaha. They just own it right now.
Yeah. So I drove one with the long travel kit, Vern at RSK. He had one. I drove one at Dumont for a little bit and a little lower elevation. I was like, this actually isn't like too bad, but you just have to keep it wrapped out to, you know, all heck all the time. And then the next summer I was up with Jed and Jace Packard in Idaho, and they had just bought two, and we're gonna build them, but they were like bone stock, had big set of paddles on, especially for that stock setup. And
yeah,
we were kind of racing around and decided that they might have made the slowest loop around Devil's Dune ever done. I was on my dirt bike and we were racing them. I got another dirt bike and Jed was like, let's race up Thunder. It's like, all right. So it takes off and I just hear him just popping and popping and popping all the way up, and I'm like, what is he doing? He's like, it's faster if I just leave it in first.
Are you serious? So he's coming off the rev limiter the whole way up?
Yep. So, yeah, that. So then after that, I was like, man, I got to build my XPT. Like, I never blew up that motor, but I was spinning it really hard. There was a couple guys in Idaho that were kind of calling me out. You know, had to step it up. So
yeah, can't have that.
Yeah, I let it spin a little hard on that trip. I was spinning like 12.5.
Oh wow.
Okay. Just trying to keep up with some of the guys having built motors, and I was like, I gotta step it up, you know. So I ended up breaking a couple cams that trip. Drove into Idaho, got a Rexburg Motorsports, bought a cam. Replaced it that night. Next day was on, out racing again. Broke another cam, put it back together. Was like, okay, I can't spin it this hard.
Yeah, apparently that's a little fast for the cam.
Yeah. So my tappets were just slapping so hard, it was popping the cam. So ended up tearing it down that winter and building it. And even with the built motor, I ran more on the rocks after that. Still raced it and stuff, but I'd come down here, made it to Moab a couple of times, and everybody's like, are you worried about that? Like, dude, no, it's fine. Just, you know, you don't hammer down all the time, you know?
Yeah, you play it right. And back in the day, it wasn't, I mean, you didn't have machines at that point from the side-by-side stuff that was just like built for it. Like, I feel like they've gotten, as they get bigger, the market for and the appetite for being off of dirt roads, being out of the sand dunes, and being into the rocks has gotten bigger. So back then it was probably a little bit unique to be like, yeah, I'm just always on the rocks with it.
Yeah, and I think that kit, so that was a two-seater, and I think that kit stretched me about 3 or 4 inches. And then,
oh, that's interesting,
with an aggressive set of tires on it with some offset, I was like 94 inches wide. So I was actually probably probably 4 inches wider than this. It was as wide as it is square,
that is
long,
super wide, because I'm on, I think right now, even the Maverick R from the factory, it's only 77.
Yeah.
That's a wide machine, man.
So yeah, it was like couldn't have cabinets in a trailer. I couldn't fit it in a trailer, just the width to be dragging on the walls. So I did that for a while, and then I was kind of like, I was waiting for the Pro R's to come out. I kept hearing about a 2-liter, and I was like, I'm going to sell it and wait for those to come out and then get a 4-seater, you know?
Yeah.
It's like kind of more like with the progression of the Yamahas, and like the Sand Outlaw series started to really progress, and originally that series was kind of just like run what you brung, and it was... Mm-hmm. all builders, and now they have, you know, a ton of classes, and it's cool they broke it up because, you know, now it applies to way more people.
Right.
But then just took like 3 years for that machine to be released.
Yeah.
And I kept saying,
they pulled the speed UTV.
Yeah, I kept saying this year, you know. And then I just kind of lost doing it, and I was on a bike still, and I was like, just keep riding the bike. And and then I've been coming down to Winter Jamboree with my brother and Jared, and it's kind of like looking at some of the stuff I was doing on the side-by-side on the rocks, and I was like, you know what, like, it might be time to just try a Jeep again.
Yeah. Well, that's, so when we first met, so you had actually, I think you'd gone out with Liz and Jared, so my sister and brother-in-law, or her boyfriend, a few times before that. But when you first came down here, it wasn't Jamboree, it was Turkey Run, Dalton Turkey Run. And that's when we first kind of were like, wait a minute, hold on, you were the oil rep. But at that point, you were on a bike. You were on a KTM or something, I think, or...
Yeah, I still have that bike. So it's a Husqvarna 450.
That's right, a Husky. And then, yeah, you ran all of the maze with us, like all of these like four-wheel drive trails. I remember you shot up, you've got to be totally nuts. No, you've got to be nuts. Yeah, that was an interesting little situation, but I can see how, you know, running a bike with that crew can kind of get boring or kind of get old.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be on a bike and you're in your gear and you're kind of, even when it's not that hot outside, right? I mean, you're kind of sitting there pretty hot.
Yeah.
When you're not, don't have any air going across you. So, I mean, I like on the bikes and stuff. Is it?
We're heading up this way, I think. Just okay. This blue line here. We'll pull up our Onyx and.
Okay.
So,
I mean, you get kind of hot if you're sitting there, so I was just kind of messing around more, and I like to ride a lot of single track, and honestly, that's really not even the right bike for me now that I'm not really going to the sand dunes.
Right. Is it just too big, or?
Well, it's just like, it's a desert bike, and I ride mostly single track, so okay. Being on an enduro bike would be an advantage for me at this point.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, I was like, like every time I'm coming down, I'm kind of either bumming a ride or I'm on my bike. I'm like, I got to just do something. And it was like the versatility on the side by side was like, I was using it hunting. I was going to Moab. I was coming down here. I was going to the sand dunes like every weekend for a while.
Yeah, you're just hitting every single, like, it's just like all off road. Whatever you want to do, you can probably do it in some way, shape, or form on a side by side.
Yeah. And then I also kind of at that time, I was like, when I was thinking about doing another side-by-side and then was like, maybe I should do a Jeep. I was like, well, I'm hunting out of a one-ton truck and I've sunk that in the mud so many times, or there's been roads that it's just really pushing it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm going to do the Jeep and then I could do pretty much everything but the sand dunes.
Yeah. That's one of the fun things about all those country songs and their jacked up trucks is the reality is trucks don't really actually make that good off-roaders.
No. Especially on the washboard. It's just not ideal. So I got the Jeep and been setting it up. I really enjoy it. You know, there's definitely things on the side-by-sides or some obstacles that, you know, you can kind of tiptoe things. Side-by-sides are really nimble, and you can tiptoe through a lot of things. And it's just like, you know, it's not like, it's not dramatic differences, right? Both of them can do about the same rating. Maybe right out of the box, a Jeep is a little less capable on some more technical stuff, but it doesn't take much to get them there.
One of the things that I've found is the biggest difference is, like, even out here, the rating systems. So we started on 777s yesterday. I had a group of new side-by-side, not new side-by-side, but this is their first time down here type people. And that 777s is an 8, if I'm not mistaken. But that is a more difficult trail in a side-by-side than the maze, which is also an 8, in my opinion. Just from being in a side-by-side. And I don't know if it's just because I've run the maze more, but I feel like it's once you start getting these twisty, bouldery type stuff where the solid axle really shines, that's kind of the only spot that I think, you know, their capabilities might be very similar, but they're not. There's definitely a difference there is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like you're lower to the ground in a side-by-side. There's no questions asked.
Yeah.
The center of gravity is really low. And almost even if you're in like a desert machine or something that's more set up for the rocks, that's very, you know, kind of something any of those machines have in common.
Yeah.
And if you're on something like real off camber, there's no doubt about it that a side by side, you know, feels better. But if it's, you know, flexing out and off camber, then you're always like three wheeling with the side by side.
Yeah.
So doesn't mean they're not capable, but it's just different, right? It's a,
yeah,
you're gonna exactly drive a little different.
Yep. And I think the maze really lends itself to the side by side because a lot of the obstacles are either narrow enough or you can put yourself on a wall just right, or there's just not a lot of that crossing up, I guess, on the maze. Unless you like drop into the soup bowl or you know, take some other things. It's usually just ledges and climbs where that lower center of gravity can be an advantage.
Yeah. So. And like, you know, some of it's just preference. And
yeah, for sure.
This is nice that I can go take it hunting. I can drive on the road. I can drive on the freeway. Is it like a luxury vehicle? Not really.
No.
But it does fine.
It's off-road luxury. Come on, Jordan. This is great. What's the... Oh, we're getting a little off camber here. We'll get down here before I start peppering you again. So you did all that. You decided, okay, I'm buying a Jeep. I don't even know. Do you still have a side by side, or you got rid of them all?
No, I haven't had any for a while.
Okay.
I just, like I said, I never bought that Pro R. Sold.
Oh, that's right.
Sold that 16, and it's kind of. It just kind of faded. I started doing some other things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Built a boat. And
oh yeah, like, that's right. You have a jet boat. It's freaking sweet. A mini jet.
Yeah. It's just how much time do you have, you know?
Yeah. What's your making that whole transition? Not really a transition. I don't know what I would call it, but what's one of the things that you or not one of the things? How am I trying to put this? What do you see as the main differences between the two, like the two communities? Because to me, they're kind of all the same community here in Sand Hollow. The side-by-side people and the Jeep people are kind of all doing the same stuff. The only people that are part of the off-road community that we don't really see that often or that aren't on the same trails as us is the dirt bikers, but they just have more fun doing other stuff. I wouldn't want to be just rocking a dirt bike around these four-wheel drive trails the whole time.
Yeah.
But what do you see having played in both worlds as the main differences there?
Well, I'd say like getting to the trail, especially if you're doing something a little farther out, right?
Yeah.
It was that
Are we going that way? We got it up here. Oh, here we go. Somewhere. We'll consult our Onyx. Where are we at? Right here. Sorry. I think we're on
a different trail. Right.
Yep, I think so. That's okay. We hop trails, which is actually not that big of a... That's not an uncommon occurrence here.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention.
It's all good. I think that's where we need to go. Yeah, let's keep rocking it.
So, I'd say, like getting out to a trail... Like side by sides are rad. You can really mob, you know.
Yeah. So here we are. We came up there. Sorry, guys. If you're just listening, we're literally using Onyx right now to get us together.
We'll take this and around.
That one might be.
I can see it.
We're just up above it. Perfect.
So yeah, some of the major differences. I mean, it's great with the side by sides that can be. You know, so turnkey and, you mm-hmm. know, a Jeep or a Bronco can be too. It's just, they're going to be different capabilities right out of the box. It's I haven't really had any problems with this Jeep, which is great. I mean, I put 10,000 miles on it in the last like year and a half, and you know, and some of that was hunting.
How many miles does it have on it? Like, where are you at?
I'm at like 74 right now.
Yeah.
So it's nice for the longevity and whatnot, but side by sides, you know, it's not like you're, it's not like they're weak out of the box, right? They're pretty strong anymore out of the box. It used to be like axles and whatnot. You were upgrading immediately, but they're pretty good anymore.
Yeah.
And I would say just like some of the parts on Jeeps are maybe a little stronger if they're bound up. It's nice to not have the CVT to be able to keep constant pressure on things.
Right.
I think, you know, Can-Am with their new transmission, I can't imagine nobody else is going to do something like that shortly.
Well, what's crazy is that we went back to talking about the Yamahas and the guy, you know, leaving it popping off the rev limiter in first. The Yamahas had that DCT in theirs since, like, whenever they released the YXE. Right? It's never been a belt car. It's always been a...
Yeah,
transmission car, and it took until the Maverick R for anybody else to do that.
Yeah, having an automatic wheeling, right? I mean, it used to be like, you know, when you're younger, automatics just weren't that great, right?
But no, not at all.
When it comes to wheeling, it's definitely like cheat mode to have an automatic, take your foot off the brake and have a rig that wants to put forward pressure.
You can lean into the torque converter.
Yeah, that's like the hardest part about a side-by-side in the rocks, I would say, is like the amount of two-footing you're doing to keep pressure on stuff.
Yep.
Right. And then you can lose it a little, quite a bit easier, you know. If you let off the re-engagement, it's not like a ton of re-engagement, right? But it's just there. It always
exists. Just a little bit to hold you there. What's interesting is I feel like driving a side-by-side in the rocks outside of having to control a stick is a lot more like driving a manual vehicle where you know, like you say, you can't keep pressure on with, there's nothing sitting there turning with pressure on the converter. It's just straight up, you know, either the belt's engaged or it's not.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot where we were going with that, but yeah, I don't know. I remember what I was going to ask you. You're saying that the side-by-sides have come a long ways, and they have, but to me, that's one of the bigger disadvantages of the side-by-side is if you were looking at a used side-by-side and it had 10,000 miles on it, you would be like, oh, dude, this thing is thrashed.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at a used Jeep and it had 10,000 miles on it, dude, you're probably still certified pre-owned. Like, the amount of mileage that you can put on them and be, you know, still feel comfortable is drastically different. And I don't know how much of that is just, I mean, if you put the same, if you did the same thing with a Jeep that you do with a side-by-side where you're just like, okay, there's no street miles, it's just all off-road. I don't know that the 10,000 miles, I still think it's better. I still think the advantage is to the Jeep. I still think that they would hold up better over 10,000 miles, even if you just bought them both brand new and literally ran the same trails with them. I think the Jeep would probably hold up a little bit better.
Yeah, that kind of was my ultimate determining factor, to be honest. Just like longevity, what can I get out of it in the end? If I had put 10,000 miles on a side-by-side in the last year and a half, you know, that just it's maybe ready for a motor, or, you know, resale's just not really there.
No.
And that being said, like, the better they get, the you know, the longevity's definitely gotten better on all of them. Doesn't matter the brand.
Sure.
But it's still not, you know, it's not the automotive market, right?
Nope. Yeah, they're still a luxury toy. What do we got up here? Looks like a shovel. Oh, it's a skeleton.
There's a skeleton and a shovel.
I think this is the winter 4x4 people do this. I'm not sure. I think I saw something about this on Facebook. For those listening, we're coming up on a trail, and out here at Sand Hollow, sometimes people put little, like, Easter egg type things, like stuff for Trail Hero. They do a lot of like actually hiding Easter eggs, like actual Easter eggs for coming out and finding. But you always see stuff that's like, this is kind of technically trail trash, like just trash left on the trail, but it's not, because it's somebody's doing like a little prank or putting something out here type of thing just for funsies for other people to find.
Yeah, but I did see that spray paint back there. Don't do that.
Yeah, spray paint snow dice. Well, this is actually, interestingly enough, so the obstacle we're on is a hard right turn, and this is one of the big controversial things that happened, not this year, I guess, but 2024. Somebody filled in concrete in that obstacle right there just to kind of make it a little bit easier. The guy had the best of intentions, but it's still like you're modifying a trail. Like, you didn't approve it with DNR, you didn't do any of this. That's technically not the way to do it. And then we had a big hullabaloo about it, which is interesting, because when that came out and people found it, they were like, oh, that's got to be a side-by-side dude that did it. Some side-by-side guy, he guaranteed he just messed it, or he couldn't make the obstacle, so he filled it in. And then actually turns out it was not. It was a local dude with the Jeep. And they've rectified it since, but that's interesting that is one of the, that is a spot where that happened.
It's funny, like, you know, how much there's the finger pointing is. It's all the off-road community, right? It's not, it really shouldn't be like that. It's doesn't do anybody any good. We all gotta kind of work together. That's what keeps things open, it's one thing to make some jokes, but it's another thing to, you know, like I could care less if I had side-by-side people with me or Jeeps. Like, they'd be doing a little bit different things. Maybe I struggle to keep up a little bit in the dunes on the way out, and you know, maybe I can get up a few things or some cracks or whatever. But I mean, on the big walls, the side-by-sides have an advantage. Like I say, they're just different, and it's like about being out here having fun, not about what you're in. Run what you brung, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's one thing I will say I've been extremely grateful to, you know, the Turkey Run crew, is that when I first showed up, it was me, the side-by-side, you, the dirt bike, and everybody else was Jeeps. But it's grown since then, and it's just everybody, you know, like, I feel like I'm the honorary UTV guy. I'm the token UTV fella. But we all go run the same stuff, and it's all, everybody gets along, and it's great. And on these, you know, twisty obstacle things, you've seen it. Like, I just tell Jared, just leave the rope hooked up, and if I can't make it up, just back up and let me hook it up myself and pull me through. But it's just one of those things that we're all out here doing the same thing. And it's kind of sad to just see people being like, well, it's got to be these people. And it's like, well, the reality is it's everybody out here wanting to do the same thing. And like you say, maybe the Jeeps get through the dunes slower. Maybe the side-by-sides scrape more going over the rock. I don't know. But we're all trying to enjoy this area in our own way.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, an area like this, right? You show up to the parking lot. Mm-hmm. There's two main parking lots, right? So everybody's parking at the same place. And it's funny to me a little bit. It's just like the people that are like, well, what are you doing? Well, what are you doing? And it's like, if a Jeep crew might be doing a...
I'm holding this up because you looked like you were trying to figure out where we're going, but I think we're right on it.
Yeah. A Jeep crew might be doing, you know, one trail, and a side-by-side is doing another. And it's like a competition of who's really doing the hardest trail. Yeah. And it's like... doesn't matter, you do a different trail every day.
Oh, you're only doing the maze. Well, we're doing chain reaction, so you're not a real off-roader. I've fortunately never seen anybody get too, you know, weird about it, but it is fun though to see people, like you say, you're like, everybody's kind of gauging like, well, what are you guys up to, how are you guys doing this?
Yeah. And I think too is like, you know, what's your experience and what's your, you know, capability? You can't do the same trail over and over, right? You're going to mix it up. So you're always going to be doing a different rated trail at some times. Some of my favorite obstacles are off of the side of a fairly easy trail, you know?
Yeah.
Might be an optional obstacle. So who cares?
Yeah. What is your favorite trail out here? or maybe not even here, because what's your favorite trail? Let me give you two caveats. What's your favorite trail on the Jeep, and what was your favorite trail on the side by side, and are they the same or are they different?
The Jeep is probably Fallen. Papa Smurf's pretty fun if you do the whole thing through, but I'm gonna have to just say the Fallen is my favorite for the Jeep. In the side by side, I would say something maybe a little bit more open, just as far as like having gaps between obstacles and whatnot. Yeah. Like, Maze is always like a go-to, right? But
yep.
Like even Hell's Revenge in Moab, it's not the most technical trail, but it's pretty fun in the side by side to just rip, you know, across the ridges and hit the next set of obstacles and then rip again.
Yeah, so. Well, and it's like you said, it's one of those things where Hell's Revenge in particular, the main trail isn't that terrible, but you still have the escalator, you still have Hell's Gate, you have the staircase has been reopened. Like there are some things that are, I mean, those aren't obviously like trying to get up Middle Monkey or you've got to be totally nuts, but those are still, you know, challenging obstacles, we'll say, that you can dive off the side of. The hot tubs. I forgot the hot tubs out there, too. You can have a lot of fun out there and not just be like, oh, this is just a trail ride type of thing.
Yeah, and I'd say, too, like, side-by-sides obviously do way good on walls. They're lighter, yeah. You know, they rev up super fast. I don't love to be bound up in a side by side.
Oh, no way, dude. It feels like death.
Yeah, the Jeep, and like I say, probably a lot of that's like transmission, keep pressure, like to work when you are bound out, to work out of it. It's more comfortable to me to be in a Jeep.
Well, even just on some of this stuff, like riding around today, there's things that, and it's, I mean, I know there's side-by-side guys that can do it and that are totally capable and 100%, but like when we come up to some of these walls and you're just like turning in and you're like, oh, you are putting a ton of pressure on that front corner. To do something like that in a side-by-side is, makes me feel nervous that I'm going to like rip an A-arm or twist a diff. Or something like that, where these Jeeps with the big, you know, one ton axles, it's just like, oh, this is part of it. Like you just have to turn in here and force it up that wall or something or over that ledge.
Yeah, and it's kind of wild too, because like, what's your side by side weigh now? Like with
about
set
2700. Yeah.
So this Jeep is right around 6,400 pounds.
Yeah,
and so. That it's a lot when it's bound up. You'd think that would be bigger issue, but it's a drivetrain difference that is causing that. So, and I haven't gotten the opportunity to drive one of the new Mavericks in the rocks, but I'd love to just to see how that transmission does.
From the ones I've been in and the people that own them that I've talked to, they actually do not prefer it.
Oh, really?
So when I was out with Kelson Downs from SSV Works and their Maverick R, he was telling me, he's like, it's just, we chose to do a more open loop when he did Shell Talk with him because he's like, it just is not, it's not as fun in the rocks. I'm sure it doesn't. I'm sure they do it great. But it was just one of those things that he was like, I'd prefer to be somewhere more open. This is hard left turn. You want to do it? It's got an upside down Jeep on the wall.
Sure.
I know that this is there's one of those things that like in a side by side that would make me feel really bad to have hit like that.
Yeah, I didn't want to hit that either.
Well, I'm not saying you did, but I'm saying I feel like you're I feel like the Jeep probably took it a little bit better. But anyways, the Maverick R, I feel like having ridden in them, they do feel like they're more of a wide open machine. Just that's just my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of all I was trying to say with that. And yeah, shut up and let you drive this.
I would say too is like, you know, obviously in King of Hammers they did really good, but I think that at some point, you know, they're going to get to the point where like a built Jeep or buggy and a built side by side are maybe not that as different anymore.
No. Well, this year with King of Hammers, with Kyle Chaney taking the actual first, not just the, you know, physical first, I think that people are going to start looking at things like, okay, well, we need to get our, you know, our 4,400 cars need to be smaller. They need to be lighter. But one thing that when I did this with Rich has always stuck with me is that he's always said, or he told me, he said, faster isn't more capable, which to me, that's totally correct. The, those little portal cars, the Jesse Haynes buggies, things like that, are going to inevitably be more, as far as like, look at, can I get through that? Those things are going to win. Like, that's just what it is. But when you have that race situation, you can't do 90 miles an hour across the desert floor in one of those buggies. And that's really the difference there. But I'm also excited to see, you know, I think Kyle Chaney's actual first in the 4,400 class is gonna shake people up a little bit.
And he was the first to cross the line, I think, last year too. But
he got penalized. He missed a it's not an RCP. They're RCPs now. He missed a gate.
Okay,
I think is what it was, or something to that effect. He ducked in on a gate and then took a bypass, or I can't remember exactly. But he was physical first last year, physical first this year, and then also actual first. So
yeah, that was an incredible race. I never sat down and watched the whole race, but that was, I did this year, and the footage is incredible, and
it's so fun. I want to go out and do that. I think Jared's planning to go out next year, so maybe we'll be able to hit that up.
Yeah, that footage with all the, now that they have internet up there and everything, it's like you can see everything. It's incredible.
Yep. Right on. Well, we're at the top of the trail. Just want to say thanks a bunch for coming out and letting me party around with you in your Jeep. Thanks for taking my dad. For those that don't know, my dad comes out to these events. He hangs out. He usually rides with me, but now all my kids and my wife go with me. And so Jordan let my dad come and ride passenger seat all day yesterday, and he's not shut up about it. So it was a good experience.
Yeah, it was nice to have him. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. You want to plug anything? People go check out your Instagram, Razorless Jones.
Yeah, you go check out my Instagram, and it's not private. Do a bunch of adventures, and hit me up or shoot me a message if you want to go wheeling.
Yeah, check out his Instagram. Go check out what he does with jet boats. We're going to get out in one of those sometime. We'll make it happen, but it's pretty cool. All righty. We'll catch you guys on the next one.